Talk TKD.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you. That's the third time we tried to do the jingle, and he's just not happy with all of them, so I'm just going to let him do it next time. I'm in a huff.
I'm sorry, mate. I aim for perfection. But, like, I will upload the first one onto YouTube for you to hear it, and maybe you might...
It's more like Squawk TKD. TKD.
Nice. Good evening, all. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, or morning if you listen to it in the morning.
That's true.
Or in Australia.
Yeah. Welcome to episode 7 of Talk TKD. Obviously, we've had the Stefan Tapalatu interview. We've had Master Ray Gale interview. So we're going back to the old school for this one, just you and me.
Yeah.
We've got a few interviews lined up as well, which would be good.
Ooh, that's news to me too.
Well, I keep my hand close to my chest, as it were. Taekwondo. Yeah.
What's happening
in Taekwondo?
We just had the Suska seminar. I wasn't part of that, but that was hosted by Mr. Paul Palchich and Mr. Tom Nicholson up north in Northampton.
Indeed.
Again, he always never disappoints, really. I've heard it was really good. Lots of hard kicking drills. People not being able to walk for a long time. But first ever ICC, International Competition course, happened in Holland. Don't know where. Where in Holland?
I don't know.
Utrecht, I think it was. I may be wrong. Maybe completely wrong.
That sounds right. That'll do.
But yeah, with Master Willy van der Mortel, Grandmaster Boss, Mr. Thomas Barada, and
Master Jedut.
Yes, from Poland.
What a lineup!
Yeah, and I heard it was very, very intense. 12 hours of training over a weekend, and I'm sure it's I've heard that, especially the English contingent, they come back with brilliant ideas and something that they can take into their class and distribute to the whole of England Taekwondo. They had a whole host of ex and current world champions there. Saw a lineup. There's good, 9-10 of them.
A lot of the participants were world champions and could do the seminar themselves.
They're there because they want to learn. That's why they're world champions. So they keep on wanting more.
That's knowledge. It. You've always got to have that thirst for knowledge, haven't you? I think when that thirst dies, then you've got problems. I mean, don't get me wrong, everyone has their kind of pauses and stuff like that where, motivation's lacking a little.
He comes every time you do a...
Sox wants to talk to you, kid.
Yeah,
he wants to
join the crew. Come on, Sox.
It's our family cat, for those not watching the YouTube. All those world champions that are still there striving and pushing to try and learn more and be better themselves, that's worth noting. And yeah, as you say, that's possibly why they are world champions, that drive to keep training, keep pushing yourself. And obviously everyone has those dips in motivation. Like, it's you shouldn't feel guilty or bad if you think, I need a rest, or whether it's just psychologically rather than physically, it's fine to have that. Obviously, you just need to manage your timetable, and if you've got a grading coming up, etc., and you feel that low, well, then sorry, you've got to push for it, and that's what will make you and will make the experience worthwhile. Whether it's a tournament, if you're not feeling motivation, kind of tough. Yeah. But after that, if you set your goals, as Master Gale was saying on episode 6, Stefan Tapalatu was saying on episode 5, so there's a common theme there. Set your goals, stick to them, go through the lulls, go through the highs, and then schedule in those breaks, those pauses. Not necessarily a pause, just, if you're leading up to competition, you're training 6 days a week, then my pause is I go back to training just twice a week, or three times a week.
I think the key words that you said, the buzz word you said there, is professionalism. And that's something that I want to go on to. Professionalism not with your own training, with instructors in general. I was speaking when I was in Italy, I was speaking to Mr. Thompson from Vision TKD. I'm sure they won't mind me mentioning. But it was it's policy in Vision that each instructor has to be personal training qualified to level one.
Excellent. And, for those people that you know, maybe listening in a different country, like a personal trainer, like as an assistant, like as a gym worker or something like that, then you would need a level two, etc. Qualification. It's like an MVQ kind of thing to be a gym trainer essentially. But yeah, carry on.
Yeah, and I think it's a positive thing because it gets. So often I've been, you know, in class and maybe assistant instructor or instructor said, do 50 push-ups followed by 20 squats. And they have no idea, a lot of the time they have no idea what it's doing for the body and how it benefits their students in training.
Mm.
So, instructors are, you know, in charge of people's bodies and, you know, they could be doing more damage than good. Not just for their, taekwondo techniques, but for their body in general. So it's, I reckon it's a positive thing.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the extreme end. I think, like, at least the minimum is if you don't know how to train the body physically, then you're not going to get the maximum out of your students.
Yeah.
You know, the more finely tuned your body is to be able to perform taekwondo, then the most you'll get out of... The scenario, the training.
Yeah. Do you think professionalism in taekwondo instruction is generally good enough?
I think there's lots and lots of taekwondo instructors. Some of them are fantastic, some of them are awful, and there's a medium in the middle. I think it varies. I think it funnels down from the top. You know, if you have somebody that has high standards and expects a lot, then their students will be the same, etc.
Yeah, it's all on the organisation as a whole. I think it's all about finding a good organisation with standards for, you know, instructing and, you know, the least you can expect is for... You know, bad things to be disciplined. You know, if bad instruction going on, then you know it can be monitored and stuff like that. And there's someone to at least talk to. You know, I think that should be the bare minimum. But yeah, you know, I think it's all about finding your own school and finding someone you can work with. So again, like not everyone. Is everyone's cup of tea. You know, some people prefer to be shouted at, to be motivated and, you know, have someone who's really enforcing. Some people like to be nurtured.
Mm. It's the instructor's job to work out what type of person they are.
It is, yeah.
And you know, obviously, you know, you've got a class of people, you will have certain ways you can't teach everyone individually. But, you know, when you're going round, etc., you know, yeah, you can be stern with some people and some people you need to, yeah, be more encouraging.
Yeah. I mean, it's in ITF England, we're allowed to pick our coaches. And it's funny, not everyone...
Your inside coach, yeah.
Yeah. Not everyone goes for the same coach for obvious reasons. There's not one coach that's... Well, maybe someone has better knowledge, but some people have different styles. Like, for me, I like someone to have... You know, put their arm around me, and you know, tell me that I'm good and I can do it. You know, motivate me. But you like someone shouting you saying you will do this, you will do that, and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's you know, you've got to be flexible and you know be able to agile.
Agile as an instructor and a coach, yeah, and flexible and, yeah, work your way, yeah, I think that's a good analysis, Also, there are quite a few coaches that will be heading off, there is the Unified ITF World Championships in Rimini, Italy.
Rimini, yeah.
this weekend or next weekend, etc. I don't believe there's any live streaming or anything like that that we could watch, but best of luck to the guys that are going out from every country, obviously England, as we are patriotic. It's a tough week managing the week sort of leading up to that competition. You want to keep training and make sure you're fresh, but not overwork yourself and manage your weight. It is hard work, and I wish the best of luck to all the guys out there. And maybe other people have got some ideas on sort of pre-competition week training, etc. But let's move away from competitions. Let's keep it philosophical. So standards of teaching, as you were talking about, do you think that the breaking up of Taekwondo and the fact that there are lots of different associations and ITFs and styles almost, do you think that has had a derogatory effect on the standard of Taekwondo that's being taught everywhere? Or do you think that actually the standard of teaching across the board is fine, but it's just a different style?
Definitely has a negative effect. You know, football has one governing body called in England it's FA, and they oversee all the...
I thought you were going to use FIFA's or like a model. And I was like, bad timing.
in England we have FA, and all coaches have to, they have to get their coaching badges before they can, coach a team, and they have to be CRB checked and stuff like that. But in Taekwondo, you can have your own organisation. You can just go out there and say, no, I don't do this coaching badges. Let's have my own organisation. Mm. Well, I can't be bothered to do that. Don't bother with the CRB checking and stuff.
Well, the extreme level is you can do 6 months of classes, think, go to JJB, buy a black belt, hire a badminton court in a leisure centre and advertise for some Taekwondo classes.
So there's very little you can do to standardise it, really, unless you say, unless the government says, this is Taekwondo, this is who's leading Taekwondo, and he sets the rules. And if you're going to call yourself Taekwondo, then you have to...
That would cause carnage, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. There'd be...
Who's going to be the boss of Taekwondo? Wow.
Yeah.
Assassinations again. Here we go.
Vote for me. Vote for Mike Whitlock.
Mike Whitlock for president.
For president of Taekwondo. Don't laugh. Don't laugh into your water.
We could call these grandmasters that have led international associations. Let's go for a third, Dan.
That's another thing. Grandmasters. Should you be a grandmaster to run, say the ITF? Or could you have... Could there ever be a day where a master, a junior, senior master runs the ITF over grandmasters?
Probably not. I don't think that there's any reason why there shouldn't be. Why there couldn't be, should I say? I don't think it should be not allowed. It should be the person with the best organisational skills, etc. The skills to run an association are very different to the skills of doing Taekwondo, but at the same time, they are a ninth dan because they have that experience, and most of the time, to be the best at job, having the most experience is a big advantage. And also when you get to seventh, eighth, ninth dan, it becomes less about the... you're kicking and punching, and more what can you do for Taekwondo? So I would say you're more likely to get a ninth degree if you're that way inclined, which would mean you're more likely to become the president of an ITF or WTF or whatever. So as I say, I don't think it should be disallowed, and I think that there could be a scenario where an eighth degree has, you know, maybe come from like a business background or has got other skills that are useful for running an association. That, you know, maybe some of the other ninth degree sort of candidates that would be running for president wouldn't have. Yeah, that's my take.
Yeah, should... Okay then, got a question for you, question time.
Mm-hmm.
Should association, what's more important, to follow your vision of Taekwondo or the general's vision of Taekwondo, or what students want, as in, you know, what a new white belt student would like?
I think, well, for a white belt student, it's our job to mould them, and, you know, they need to fit our... So I think the problem, if you...
Or say us as competitors, or us as, you know, the general, say black belt population.
Mm. I think it's a... there might need to be a compromise here and there, but they need to be small compromises. I think that the, you know, Taekwondo as a martial art, as a core, as, you know, a way of improving us, people, society, whatever, that's the most important, and that definitely trumps, you know, athletes or you know, people that want to compete, like the, you know, Taekwondo for the masses is definitely more important. But at the same time, Taekwondo, as I say, it's a balancing act. You need to keep to those core traditional values of a martial art and, you know, the general's teachings. But at the same time, you know, society changes as well. Our morals change, and you need to kind of find a way of keeping society interactive with Taekwondo so it doesn't become a stale, you know, thing that kind of has come and died out. Like, it, you know, there is that. And that's what I think is the good thing about the general's philosophies in Taekwondo, is that they're not that specific. They're quite durable in that you can put them in most societies and they will make sense. You know, people will agree with them, whatever society you're from, they're kind of universal. Hence, that for me, that's a good sign that will have longevity and will last, because, you know, they seem to be core values about humanity that we can keep, and it's kind of the other things that we can mould in the association, the organisation of the place, that that kind of needs to change and keep students and society interactive with.
Yeah. Answer my question.
Cool. Excellent.
But should we be saying that Taekwondo is Taekwondo, this is what we do, you know, a punch is a punch, a kick is a kick, and like it or lump it? This is Taekwondo, yeah.
Yes, I think we should. I think we should say yes. This is Taekwondo. This is the progression. This is the grading system to symbolize that progression. And
but should we almost like sugarcoat? Should, like, you know, make exercises fun and, you know, kind of make the first kind of junior bit, you know, more fun and get them involved and make them grow to love the core, what Taekwondo is?
I think that breaks down onto what your definition of Taekwondo is, because for me, you know, as a kid, like, you know, it wasn't as hard, not as much as expected of me as a kid as it was then, and it was fun, and I understand what you're saying in that, like the traditional way of teaching, like, you know, the way that the general taught it would have been very different to the way that I teach my junior classes. So yeah, I see your point. I see, and that's the thing. I think, so for me, like, the core of Taekwondo is the morality and the end product of having a good person that fits in society, is functional, etc. If the and the training and the manner in which, like the, you know, there are the patterns and the set movements, but the delivery, I think, is flexible and depends very much on the person. And as we were talking about earlier, like, it's your job to get the most out of your student or instructor, your student or the athlete. So if you have a bunch of four-year-olds and you want to teach them the morals and you know, have that end product that Taekwondo kind of, well, not, you know, not an end product, but obviously because it's a forever going journey, but you know, these are the kind of morals that we want to instill in you, like, okay, what's the best manner in which to do that? Okay, it's a bunch of four-year-olds, you know, let's break them in gently, yeah, and build them up as people. Yeah, and I think if you did come in, you know, general style, you know, military style, then I don't think you would get the most out of those kids. But yeah, that's but it is a happy medium, isn't it? Because you need to stay core to those principles and you know, being taught too sternly and, you know, being pushed, like, is a core part of Taekwondo and, you know, being a human and living. You know, you will be asked to push yourself, etc. And you can prepare yourself for that through Taekwondo classes. And I think the danger is if you mold yourself too much to, like, nicely, nicely, softly, softly, then you can miss out on that other bit that I think is core, a core part of Taekwondo as well. So, as I say, it's like a happy medium of both for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, like, you can't just go bang, you know, be good, you know, or get out or whatever. Mm. You kind of, I remember someone's first class, he was there and he's kind of like fiddling around and stuff like that. Instructor went, "Oh, you stop doing that." And, you know, obviously having no idea about the courtesy integrity, I think he just had his arms folded or something like that. And, you know, in my opinion, I don't think I was right. I think you should, you know, almost kind of break them in softly, saying, you know, in Taekwondo we tend to do this, you know, not to single you out.
Yeah, this is because it's pointless telling him off because he's not being disrespectful. It's just ignorance. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
So, like, your job is to inform him. And you say, "Oh yeah, in Taekwondo, when you're lining up, you need to, you know, face forward and keep yourself face forward." And they'll go, "Oh, okay, cool." And they'll do it. Yeah, rather than, like, have a go. It's like, well, hang on, you know, I'm not being I think you should only, you know, challenge somebody like that, like, if they're intentionally being disrespectful or disruptive, etc. If it's just an ignorance thing, they don't know better, then it's your job. Just teach them. You don't need to shout at them. Definitely, I agree. Yeah,
and I can't see... I think Taekwondo would die if you don't have any, like, kind of games or anything like that for kids. And, you know, making it fun for them as well. I'm personally, you know, all for making Taekwondo fun. Because the core syllabus is very dry. You know, the core syllabus of Taekwondo...
Yeah, if you do...
If you just stick
patterns,
to the...
Patterns, if you did patterns and line work... Like, for the full class twice a week, you probably wouldn't have too many students, yeah. But that's, you know, that's not a general talk, though, is it?
No, it's not. But it's interesting with, like, kind of general perceptions, you know, that the core of football is, for a lot of people, fun.
Mm.
And, you know, just practicing football, getting a ball, having a game is fun. But I think Taekwondo, just kind of going through patterns, is very, like, I don't know, some people are very Marmite, some people love it, some people hate it. But you just got to break them into why you're doing patterns and, you know,
why... Yeah, explain it fully, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, like the thing is, I think if you were just doing line working patterns, you're not teaching taekwondo. You're teaching a small part of it. But I see what you mean, that like that you do see that in places, and you know you like
the it's opposite.
I can't stand it if you go to a taekwondo school, and you know they can do like a lovely chonji, dosan, whatever, but like you go right throw a jab cross on the pad. And they can't throw a decent, you know, left-right combination. Like, so I think if you're a black belt in any martial art, you need to be able to throw a left and a right straight. Like, it's, you know, to be able to defend yourself. And yeah, I think if you are not doing that, then you are not teaching all of taekwondo. Yeah. And when you're going back to, like, the games thing that you said as well, I think it's... I say it's the style of training, like, you know, yeah, there need to be times where you kind of let the kids kind of, you just change the tone of the class, because, like, you say games, it's not like you're playing tic-tac-toe or pin the tail on the donkey, you know, you're doing a different style of training, but a more creative, you know, style thing. So, yeah, like I do, you know, if I do, say I do, like, 20 minutes of solid patterns with them, then I'll go on to, you know... get like them to take their belts off, tuck them in their trousers, and play like snatch the belt and stuff like that. That is kind of, it changes the tone. They don't have to concentrate so much. They're doing something different, but they're still learning, you know, to move, to dodge, etc. Even if you just play bulldog, like you know, running up and down and trying to tag the other person, like you're learning agility. They're getting fitness, spatial awareness, and stuff like that. Yeah, it's. Like, I think you just, yeah, you need to change the tone, and more so for juniors than adults, yeah.
What about in big associations? Could you afford to have, you know, associations where it's kind of like an open door policy, you pay to do, like say Puma, you pay to do 2 days a week, then you can train in any Puma school.
Mm.
Could you afford to have someone who's kind of, teaches kind of more sparring and stuff like that, you know, that, you know, you have instructors that pretty much only teach sparring, like, at, you know, all throughout the month and do like one pattern session. Could you afford to do that and have someone like else in the association nearby who kind of does kind of more traditional stuff and, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that does happen, you know. Associations have a variety of people that have that.
Specialisms.
Yeah. Everyone has their specialties, you know. There are people that break, there are people that are good at patterns, you know, like better at patterns or better at this thing or the other. I think a lot of associations do kind of have that, you know, obviously you need to be loyal to your instructor, but you can complement that training with other like this way. I think as long as it's as well as, then it's okay. And you know, both instructors know, and permission is being given by both instructors, which is the policy in basically in Puma. If you're a paying regular training member of one instructor school, if you ask your instructor and you ask the instructor that you would like to visit beforehand, before you go, and you say, look, can I come down for a few classes, and they both say yes, then you can go, and it's no extra charge, which I think is great, and I think is, you know, I think quite a few associations have got that, and I think it's silly not to, because, you know, like, it's impossible to be the best at everything, you know, you're just not, and if you're instructor is more, you know, patterns orientated, but you want to try a bit of breaking, and you know somebody down the road has been doing breaking a bit more than your instructor, and you know both are happy, then you know if they want to improve themselves, if they're seeking to improve themselves, then you know I think it's the instructor would be doing them a disservice if you stopped them, you know, as long as it's respectful and as I say on top of extra training, you know.
I just think there's so many components to taekwondo that it's hard to be, you know, I suppose a lot of people are jack of all trades or masters of none. And some people are masters of one trade, you know, and not so proficient in others.
It's natural, yeah.
So it's good to have the variety within the organisation.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah,
so I think we're going to call that time. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, episode 7, Talk TKD. Please share us on Facebook. I do have a Twitter, but I never use it. I'm really bad. But I will try and sort that out. I did promise the website would be up and running soon, not too long ago. It's nearly there. I've been very busy, but I will get that up and running. So on to our sponsors, snapmehappy.com. They came to my taekwondo school on Sunday. We had a fantastic time. They bought a green screen, put that behind us, took like all the individual photos of all the kids. And they had a printer there, the computer, put like the background, Whitlock Martial Arts, etc. We had a fantastic time. The kids had a fantastic time, brought their medals in, did some different poses and kicks and stuff. And had a printer, printed them out as people bought them there and then. I'm going to get a link soon, and then people can pick the photos and say, right, can I have photo 18 with photo 23 with that background? And they'll send you a copy of it in a frame, and the email you the digital digital copy without the watermark. It was fantastic. Honestly, it's great just for like the bonding for your club. You know, make sure when you do book them, which you can do through our website. If you contact us through Facebook, Talk TKD, or email me or whatever, we can direct you to them. Or if you go on the snapmehappy.com. Was it .co.uk? Either, where you'll find it. Website, if you you fill in a contact form, they'll get back to you. Just need to say that you heard from Talk TKD so that they know that they're getting some support through us, which will give us some cash and support us doing this podcast. And taking the time to do it. We've got True Warrior, warriorforlife.co.uk. Check it out. Lots of equipment. Super Fight Series. They're going to have some announcements coming up soon enough. And that's it. Peace and love. Taekwondo. Keep training hard. Mike?
Bye.
Ciao.